Welcome to the Public Handicapper Podcast. This podcast covers the four races run every weekend on publichandicapper.com. This is show number 33, October 18th, 2019. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Public Handicapper, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, what's the word?
Well, it was a fun weekend last weekend, seeing you and all the other horse players at Keeneland. I had a great time. I'm now back in Washington and eager to start looking at Breeders' Cup races next week when the entries come out.
Yes, and congratulations for qualifying for the NHC with your third on the Saturday contest at Keeneland.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It's always nice to get a result, especially when my handicapping wasn't, you know, spot on the day. It's usually hard to place highly in those sorts of contests unless you have a really great day handicapping. But I sort of lucked out a little bit, sort of bet the races the right way, even though I didn't get the right result, or exactly the right result. So it worked out really well, and I'm really looking forward to the NHC again this year. It's always a great time if you're a horse player, and any of you out there who are not into the contest play and listening to this broadcast or podcast, you definitely should think about getting involved in contests beyond just Public Handicapper. It's a lot of fun, especially the live contests. There's just nothing quite like it.
Yep, and they can be expensive, but there are less expensive contests such as the Low Roller at Naira Tracks, which is $40 to enter. And I believe the one that they're having this weekend, one of the prizes is entry into the live money, the next Aqueduct live money bankroll contest, which is a $500 buy-in.
That's a great point. Also, there are online qualifiers for many of the on-site, you know, on-track contests. So that's another way you could win your way into these more expensive entry fee contests at a lower price.
All right, great. Well, let's see what we got this weekend. We've got four races. The theme is statebreds. So three of our four races are for limited to statebreds. And the first race we have is the ninth race at Belmont Park. It's the Ticonderoga Stakes, a mile and a 16th. On the inner turf, purse of $200,000. It's for fillies 3-year-olds and up, foaled in New York State. What did you think here, Chris?
Well, I think the favorite is a strong favorite. Chad Brown, 55, is the horse's name, the 4-horse. Definitely the best horse in this race. It's pretty consistent. The horse to beat probably will go off at like 3-5, and it's not the kind of horse I'm dying to play against. Does come from off the pace, so it could have some trouble, you know, traffic trouble that might impede the chances of it winning, but it will be tough to beat. The second choice is sort of the obvious second choice, too, in Dream Passage. So I don't think you'll get any value there. So I tried to get a little more creative, and I landed on number 9, English Soul. This horse, it's sort of a tough to ride horse. It's doesn't like being down inside of horses. Its last race, it got really rank and ended up bumping around and kind of just stopped running. So I would toss that race out. It's actually had 3 races this year and drawn the rail in every race. And I think it's a horse who wants to be outside of horses. And it drew the outside, and I actually think that will be good for this horse. It has natural speed. I think it they can let it kind of roll and find a spot without having to, you know, fight the horse at all early. Manny Franco should be able to just let this horse get into its rhythm. It may put itself on the lead, or it might sit. I think it can sit off the lead as long as it's outside horses. And with the right trip, I think there's a lot of upside with this horse. I don't think we've seen its best race this year. And it certainly could improve off of what we've seen so far. And we should have Firm going here. So I think English Soul might be the one that could surprise people. And it will be probably, you know, the one price horse in here that I think really has a legitimate shot to pull the upset. So that's who I'm going to go with.
I like English Soul. And in fact, that horse was my first choice. She had problems in her last race. She was rank. She actually hopped at the beginning. She was severely rank going into the first turn and all the way through the first turn. I think she might have had a little trouble after that as well. And then in the race before that, she hit the gate and that affected her. So I think she has a real shot to improve dramatically, and she's always been pretty fast. There's a couple of negatives. One is that she has yet to win on turf. The other negative is that all her wins on the dirt have been on the lead. And there is a lot of pace in this race, including Dream Passage, who ran a very fast, some very fast early time form fractions in her last race. So I'm actually going to go with a different horse, and it's Broken Border, who is a Jason Service horse. The horse has, it's 7 years old. She has never really been that fast, but in her third race this year, she did have a winning effort at 7 furlongs. And since then, she's circling back to that number. And I watched her last race. She won really easily. She was the favorite, but she won super easily at Monmouth. And she comes back in 9 days. And Jason Service hits when he runs a horse back in less than 11 days, he hits at 32% with a 194 ROI. So I think maybe this horse is just finding her stride, even as a seven-year-old. And she's the longest shot on the board. So I'm giving her a shot just because I think she can sit off what I expect to be a pretty fast pace. And she's got improvement in her. But I won't actually be betting real money on this race because it's going to be tough to catch 55.
There was one other horse that I wanted to mention, and that's the 8 horse. We Get the Monies. That horse, I think, it's a plotter, but it has a really good closing kick. And you mentioned that there's a chance that the pace may be fast early on. And if that's the case, I think We Get the Monies could come rolling late. I don't know if she can roll past 55, but she might get up for second. And who knows, maybe even go right on by at a price. So that's the other horse in addition to English Soul that I like in this race.
And there's two things I'll add about We Get the Monies. First, the horse has chased a flow that has been speed favoring, courtesy of racingflow.com. Both of her last two races were speed favoring, and she tried to close into those paces. And even though she didn't win, she did get up for fourth and third, respectively. The other thing is that Joel Rosario takes this horse over Dream Passage, who looks like a pretty good thing for Brad Cox at only 4-1 morning line. So it's just a little bit noteworthy that We Gets the Monies has those two angles going for her.
And one final, I think, positive is that all those other races were at a shorter distance. This is a mile and an eighth against a lot of the same horses, and maybe that extra distance will be what she needs to be able to, instead of just closing in for third or fourth, maybe get up for second or first.
Okay. It's actually a mile and a 16th, but either way.
Oh, you're right. I'm not sure why I thought it was a mile and an eighth. Okay. So, scratch that last comment then. But maybe if she gets a little better set up from a pace perspective, she can get past those horses.
Right. And she does have a win at a mile and an eighth. So you always like a horse that at least can get the distance and then is maybe running a little bit shorter than she usually does. But I think the pace can be pretty fast here. So she definitely has a shot.
The Public Handicapper Podcast is brought to you by DRF Bets. Did you know DRF Bets now has weekly cash back of up to 5% of your wagers? It's also the only wagering platform that allows you to build and submit ticket maker plays. And you can get free PPs just by betting. Sign up now with a deposit of $150 and get another $150 to bet the very next day. To take advantage of this offer, go to publichandicapper.com and click on the DRF Bets banner at the top. It's the only way we get credit for having sent you there. And we need the credit.
Let's go to our second race, which is the third race at Hawthorne. It's the Bucks Boy Handicap, and it's been a while, but I think it was 94 that Bucks Boy won the Breeders' Cup Turf at a mile and a half. This race is a mile and a 16th on the turf. It's a purse of only $50,000 for three-year-olds and up. It is for Illinois breds, but it does seem to have a pretty good crew. I'll start it by pointing toward Don't Ask, Don't Tell, who looks slower than these horses, but does have a back number. So when I'm kind of flummoxed by a race, if I see a lot of horses that look like they're probably going to run an okay number, but I'm not sure, if I see a horse that has run a much better number, then I ask myself, is it possible that that horse can run back to its best number? In the case of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, he ran a big number 2 years ago at Hawthorne on a yielding course. Now, it was like an 11-length win, and it was yielding, and I think it was only a mile. But it was a big number, and the horse has not run nearly that fast since then. But he has been steadily progressing this year. And his last race, he ran on the lead, which he doesn't really prefer. On the synth, it was an off-the-turf race. And I think that, you know, a small improvement on a surface that he doesn't prefer may bode well for him to run a big race today. So I'm going to sort of tentatively push the button on Don't Ask, Don't Tell at a price. He's 8-1 morning line. He's running for Chris Block, who also has another horse in the race, two other horses in the race. I just think that sometimes when I can't make head or tail of all the other horses that are running about the same number, that going back to a top number can sometimes result in a price score. So that's the horse I'm going to land on.
This is a pretty wide open race, hard to handicap. I lean towards two horses in here. They're both big prices in a wide open race. I'm not sure which I like better. One is the two horse Chief Okie Dokie. I like him because he's the horse with some upside. I think he's just, he's coming off a good race. Every once in a while he runs a bad race, but he's mostly ran good races this year. He comes into this race really sharp, gets a good post. Repeat of his last race with a good trip can win, and I think he's 20-1 in the morning line. I don't know if you'll get that, but you'll probably get 15 or 20-1. So to me, he's kind of an obvious play in here. And then also the three horse, who probably is better on synth than turf and probably is better sprinting than routing, but I think he's fast enough with a good trip to possibly win in here too. So he's probably the other one I would use in here. But I think maybe Chief Okie Dokie will be where I'll lean the hardest and probably be my play in Public Handicapper. But I mean, the horse you mentioned, you know, certainly the one horse looks pretty tough in here. Just, the outside horse is pretty strong. So, I mean, this is a pretty wide open race where I think if you play the race, you want to get a price. So that would be my big recommendation is don't chalk out in here for sure. And probably if you play the two, it might be an okie dokie finish.
Well, I definitely see where you're at on Chief Okidoki as well as What's Up Dude. They're both fast enough to win, but the only question is, can they do it on turf? Looking at Chief Okidoki's numbers, he does seem to be somewhat surface neutral. He has run the same number, whether it's been dirt, turf, or synthetic, except for his last race, which was on synthetic and was a little bit better than any other race he's ever run. So I'm kind of on the fence. I definitely think that horses have a preference for surface, and he could go either way. At a price, I would take the favorable view, and I believe I put him in second. The other horse that you mentioned is What's Up Dude, who last year ran in this race and ran terribly, but he had been running a bunch of races and his form was terrible going into that race. This time he has just run a very nice race two races ago on the Arlington Synth at a mile and a 16th. And if he has any turf inclination whatsoever, he's got a great shot. The only thing is, I would mention a couple of negatives. The trainer is very chilly right now. He's hitting at 6% in the last 90 days. The other thing is that I looked up the breeding on this horse, and the siblings are 2 for 20 on the turf, but both of those wins were sprinting. So with those caveats, but certainly you do want to go with a price in this race.
Yeah, I won't disagree with you. With anything you said, but you know, this is a race where I don't think you have to be secretary to win. So that, you know, that's why I would go with a price. And who knows, What's Up Dude could run up the track, same with Chief Okidoki, but they also, if they get a trip in fire, they might win it, you know, 15 or 20 to 1. That's kind of the race, the way I see this race. I wouldn't bet either one with loads of confidence, but they might be decent value plays.
Yeah, and I noticed Don't Ask, Don't Tell is getting played on Public Handicapper at 6 to 1. So that really doesn't excite me, and I reserve the right to change my pick to What's Up Dude, who I think is definitely faster and hasn't really proven that he can't run on turf. Even though he's 0-2, he also was in questionable form at that time. All right, so
yeah,
let's.
The thing about him is he's had two turf races, but they were both troubled trips when he was sort of off form. So I just don't know what that tells you. So I do think it is an open question on him, on whether or not he can handle the turf. And Lip D Justice has his broodmare sire. As you know, that's kind of a turfy horse in there. So I do think it, you know, it's open. If he runs another terrible race in here on a turf, I think that kind of settles the question. But I do think it's still a question right now.
Yeah, and you know, he's first dude breeding means that he's going to be able to get a distance. So you know, at 15 to 1, you want to take the favorable view. And I might just do that on Public Handicapper because Don't Ask, Don't Tell is getting played at 6 to 1. We'll have to see how that pans out and what the odds are likely to be.
Hey, we have a special offer for PH Podcast listeners from RacingFlow.com. Purchase a 2-month subscription to Racing Flow for $140 total. Get an extra 2 months for free. That works out to $35 per month. Make sure you mention the Public Handicapper Pod in order to get the 2 free months. Go to racingflow.com and sign up now.
So let's move to our next race. It's the 9th race at Keeneland. It's the Lexus Raven Run Stakes, a grade 2, 7 furlongs on the dirt, purse of $250,000 for 3-year-old fillies. I know that we mentioned we both like this race, but we didn't mention what horses. Where are you going in this race?
Well, this has turned out to be a pretty good race, I thought. There are some interesting horses. I'll just mention that I'm not going to, there are not going to be my picks, but are worth mentioning. And Chad Brown has a couple in here. Royal Charlotte, I think, will be, she's the morning line favorite. She'll probably go off as the favorite. I don't have any knocks against her. She's a solid horse in good form. He also has Indian Pride, who ran a really big race in her debut. She could be any kind. So I think Chad Brown has a strong hand, even though this is a dirt sprint, and he's usually, you know, his strong hands are typically more in the turf route realm. But I don't think either one of those are invincible in here. Restless Rider comes in here off a layoff. She was on the, in the Philly, in the big races for Phillies last year. And she certainly has talent. She'll get bet. But none of those three will be my play. The two horses that I'm really interested in here are first of all, the two horse Bells, the One, who it's interesting. They just haven't really decided what they really want to do with this horse. They've tried her sprinting and routing and on scent and on dirt and on turf. Pretty much every permutation of surface and distance, they've already tried her, and she's only run, 7 races. But if you, at through her, and then they've ended up finally giving her some time off at the, over the summer. And prior to that layoff, if you look at her form, she on sprinting on dirt, she had 2 wins and a second, and her second was in the sloppy track against a really freaky fast break even, and she ran second that day, clear of everybody else. Her other 2 starts sprinting on dirt were wins. So to me, it was kind of clear, at least for now, she's best sprinting on dirt. And they figured that out too. They brought her back off the layoff in a dirt sprint. Unfortunately, she caught Covfefe, who's clearly, I think, the standout dirt sprinter in the 3-year-old filly division. And she wasn't going to beat her, but she was, again, well clear of everybody else. And she was coming off the bench. So they decided, let's stick with sprinting on dirt. Clearly that she's pretty good at this. And now she comes back in a race where she doesn't have to face break even the slop. She doesn't have to face Covfefe. She gets, a second try sprinting on the dirt with a race under her belt. I think everything says she will run a big race in here. And with all those other options to play, I think she'll be a good price. I mean, you could get, the double digit odds. I don't know if you'll get 12-1, but 8 to 10 to 1, I wouldn't be surprised if she's lower than that. So that's the one I like the most from a price standpoint. The other horse I'm interested in is First Star, who I always say West Coast shippers sprinting on dirt are very dangerous when they ship east. This trainer, Ron Ellis, doesn't typically ship horses, especially young horses. He doesn't run them very often. So, she's had 2 starts. Both were really impressive. She just, her second start, she won easily against winners going 2 turns. Now he cuts back the 7 furlongs and ships east. I think that shows a lot of confidence in a trainer that doesn't make bold moves very often. So I think she's a big contender in here. She may get bet, but since it's not Baffert or Hollendorf for shipping over, maybe she'll get overlooked a bit with those Chad Brown runners in the race. But let me see what she's on public handicapper. She's getting bet 5-1, but there's a lot of West Coast public handicapper players. I don't know if she'll get bet quite as heavily on the track at Keeneland, but we'll find out. So those are my 2 in this race. Bell's the One, probably my pick for public handicapper, probably the best value. But First Star is one I'm interested in, but I'll have to watch the odds board.
Well, I really like First Star, and I think that once people really handicap this race, they're going to come to the same conclusion that she is a super talented horse. She's run fast in her first two races. In her last race, she was 5 wide on the first turn and 4 wide on the second turn. She won easily going away and then extended on the gallop out. And Ron Ellis has been interviewed, at least in the DRF. I saw that he expects this horse to be able to handle the trip very well because she's the trip to Keeneland, Kentucky, because she is a very classy individual. And I would be happy if she stays at 5-1 or higher. She is 5-1 on Public Handicapper right now. If you watch that race, her last race, she just looks so good and so classy. So it's really going to be hard to get a good price on her. At the same time, Royal Charlotte will take a fair amount of money, and so will Indian Pride. So maybe, you know, we get the 5-1 and maybe we get the 6-1. It's a nice big open field. I will toss Royal Charlotte. I don't like her on the inside in a big field going 7 furlongs at Keeneland. I've seen it happen so many times where horses just get buried on the inside. So I'm going to completely toss her out of the super. I will be betting this race. And a couple of bomb skis that I will throw in are, first, Needs Supervision, who won her maiden at the distance in her second race, and now she's second off a layoff. She had trouble at the start of her last off the layoff, and she's working well since then. So I think she can totally blow up the super. She's a little bit slower, but she ran fast as a 3-year-old, and I think she has upside. So I think she can blow up the super at 30-1 or higher. I'm also interested in Free Cover, who ran pretty solid against Covfefe last race. She had some trouble at the beginning of the race. I'm not sure exactly what happened because I didn't have a head-on view, but she clearly looked like she was bothered. And then she made a solid run. And even though she couldn't beat Covfefe and she just kind of faded a little bit to third at the end, I was impressed with the run. I do think she's an underuse only because I question whether she can get the distance, but I think she's another one that could blow up the super. If they're both in there, Need Supervision and Free Cover, that super can be quite healthy.
Yeah, I think it will be if you catch those three and you can, you know, get all the favorites out. Restless Rider, I think, will take a lot of money here too. So I think First Star could easily be the fourth choice in here. So it sounds like you're really high on her, a little higher than I am. But I do think you'll get, you know, 5-1 on that horse. I wouldn't be surprised at all if you get that price.
Hey, I'll take it. She's definitely my pick in the race.
All right. And like you said, you know, there's some other pretty good horses. And we didn't even mention Horologist, who we, I think, both liked in her last race. She's cutting back in distance. She certainly fits in here. So there's a lot of different ways you can go. I think you need to watch the odds board. Sounds like you're really ready to unload on First Star. I'm leaning more towards Bell's the One. I think you'll get a little better value on her. And I think, you know, she's sitting on a big race, but she is down on the inside. And like you said, at Keeneland, it wasn't as bad last weekend as it had been prior weekends, but it doesn't seem like the inside is where you want to be.
Yeah, Bell's the One. I don't want to talk you off of price. She totally fits on the numbers based on her last number. The only question is she going to react off that number? And she might not. But it was a pretty big number, and she does have that inside from the two hole. So if she does have any kind of reaction, that combined with the traffic, it could be an issue for her. All right, so let's go to the last race. It's at Santa Anita Park. It's the 6th race. It's the California Flag Handicap. It's 5.5 furlongs on the turf. Purse is $100,000. For California breds, 3-year-olds and up. I expect the pace to be somewhat hot here. I noticed that What of You pretty much has to go from the inside. There's another horse, My Friend Emma, who really only knows how to win on the front end. And King Abner also prefers to run on the lead. I don't really like this race, but there is a horse that I think has a shot as a long shot, and that would be Portando. He has back numbers similar to Don't Ask, Don't Tell, in that he has a big number in his past that would win this race. Now, it was on the dirt, and this is a turf race, but it's only 5.5 furlongs. And the reason why I'm interested in him to possibly get back to that number or close to that number is that he's had 3 races since a year layoff, and the last race was a slight improvement over his first race off the layoff. He got 2nd in his first start for this trainer, who has only had 1 start. I looked her up, and she is an owner on the California circuit, and she got 2nd in her first race. So with this horse, the pattern says to me that the horse can improve off that last race, and if he can improve a couple of lengths, then he can win this race off what I think is going to be a fairly hot pace. So I like the closing style.
Well, you're brave. I mean, a trainer who's making her only horse she's ever had in a 2nd start as a trainer. So it'll be interesting. Maybe she's a good trainer. We'll find out. You might be onto something there. I the trainer change is what scares me off on that horse. It was in a pretty good barn. So I think that race might have just been the residual of the training from before. So we'll see if she can train on this in this start where she's had the horse now for, you know, a couple months. So it'll be interesting to see on that one. You'll probably get a big price because of it, though. So you'll get rewarded at the windows on that one. And the way I landed on the 8 horse, again, I'm not too big on this race, but we've talked a little bit about this before. I think it was 7 Trumpets, who was by Smiling Tiger. Smiling Tiger has turned out to be a good turf sire. And this horse ran really well in its only other try on turf. And he's been on dirt lately, and he's really in career form since he changed barns. And he's finally gets back on turf again. And like I said, I that breeding angle is what really excites me about this race, is being able to play this Smiling Tiger on the turf. And his dirt numbers fit really nice with this group. So, and he drew a nice outside post where he doesn't have to be on the lead. You know, I think he has tactical speed, though, so he can be in a good position. Doesn't have to worry about any of the, you know, getting shuffled back or anything like that. So I like Grinning Tiger in here on the outside post. The other horse I'm a little interested in, you already mentioned, My Friend Emma. I don't worry so much about fast paces and these turf sprints at 5 or 5.5 furlongs. They typically get one on the front end, even if it's a fast pace. So, you know, My Friend Emma might be the fastest of them all. And if she can get the lead and open up a little bit on the field, she could win at a price. So, you know, from the speed to the speed angle, I kind of like My Friend Emma. But I think Grinning Tiger has speed where he'll be close enough. He's not going to be too far back. And I think that breeding and a chance to be back on the turf could be all it takes for him to run, you know, a winning race at a price. So I'm going to go with Grinning Tiger over My Friend Emma in this race.
I actually like the pattern a lot on Grinning Tiger. He's only run once on the turf, and coincidentally ran 4th to one of the horses that he ran 4th to was Portando. That was with the previous trainer, so, you know, I understand your negative with this trainer. But I do really like the pattern on Grinning Tiger, and besides the breeding, a couple of interesting notes. The trainer is hitting at 12% with a 245 ROI in the last 90 days. And he's also hitting at 29% overall with Heriberto Figueroa with a 597 ROI. So there's a couple of things to like about that horse. And I will place him in second. I like a lot about him, and just having that one race on the turf, even though he finished fourth, it was his best race at the time. And when a horse runs its best race first time turf, that indicates that they like it.
You know, one other interesting thing on this horse is he has a couple of good races at Los Alamitos. And what I've learned, this is a little angle that I had that people can use in the future, is Los Alamitos, what makes it unique is kind of has some funky, some fairly tight, one fairly tight turn, and one kind of a big broad turn. But horses that run on the turf or often run well on these bullring tracks with the tight turns and vice versa. I think it's the whole idea that they can run the turns pretty well even when they're tight. So that's just another example where I think this horse will like, you know, a turf course, which usually is inside the dirt course and they have the tight turns. I think he can run the turn pretty well. It's just another indication that he might be a plus turf horse. That along with his breeding and the performance he gave on his one turf horse race, which was he had been kind of off form running at Turf Paradise before that. And he came to Santa Anita. And they put him on the turf, and I'm sure that's why they brought him, was to try him on the turf, you know, in a new barn. And, you know, he ran at 51-1. He ran a pretty big race. And ever since then, he's been a much better horse. So it'll be interesting to see how they bet the race and how he runs. But I think he's a decent value play in here.
Absolutely. All right. Well, that'll wrap it up for the public handicapper races. There are a lot of other races out there. There are a lot of stakes, a lot of state bred stakes. The Laurel has the Maryland Million Day. I wondered, and Belmont has a New York bred showcase day. I don't know if it's officially called that, but it's a lot of New York bred races, stakes races. Anything out there besides the races that we've covered that you were interested in?
Well, I do think the Laurel card is really good. I mean, it has turf, dirt, sprint route, big fields. I mean, big as in 14 horse fields, with not including the also eligibles on some of the turf races. So I think that's the best card of the day from a betting standpoint. So if you're looking for other races to play, that's where I'd go. There's several horses I like, but there's one in particular that I think is a great play, and that's in the sixth race at Laurel. There's a horse named a number seven horse named I Love You, and I love the horse in the race. She's a horse where she in her last race she really is bred to route on turf, and she had never gotten a chance. She's never had a chance to route on turf. This will be her first chance to actually do so in this race. In her first four or five races, she was routing on the dirt, and several of them were taken off the turf. And I think almost all of them were on a sloppy track. But she didn't really run good in any of those. And then they gave her a layoff, and they brought her back after a long layoff, her last start, and she finally got onto the turf. It was in a sprint, so it was probably just a prep, but she actually won the race pretty easily. And now she goes second off a layoff, and she actually stretches out to two turns, which is what she's bred for, on the turf, two turns, second off a layoff. Just love this horse. I think she's going to run a big race, and she's 10-1 on the morning line. And there's only a couple other horses that are, you know, any good at all in this race. So I think it's pretty easy if she runs to get the exacta and the trifecta. So to me, you know, my play of the day probably is number seven, I Love You, in the Laurel sixth race.
If anybody takes your advice and bets and wins on that horse, they're going to be saying, Chris, I love you.
I'll be saying I love the horse, but definitely this is one where you don't very often see as good of a setup for a price. Now, there's a chance she could end up getting bet, but she is 10-1 on the morning line, and there's a 7-5 morning line favorite. So I think you'll get some kind of price.
Yeah, and she does get a weight break. She carries only 115. I'm looking at the public handicapper jockey weights page, and I don't see anything for Brian Pedroza, so I don't know what weight he rides at, but hopefully he'll get that weight, and if he does, then he's certainly got a good shot in that race. Just my very quick handicapping, there is that favorite, Ghoul's Night Out, who looks pretty solid, but certainly not invincible, and I think your play merits further research, and I'm not sure if that race is going to be part of any contest online. But if so, that looks like a good play at a price.
Yeah, I agree. And Ghoul's Night Out, and then the one horse, My Sister Sledge, they're the two big favorites on the morning line. Probably the ones you'd have to use if you wanted to play this horse. And if you want to, you know, back it up with exactas underneath those two, that's probably the way you'd go. And you're hoping that the horse fires and can beat one or both of those. Because other than those two, you know, the rest of the field is just pretty bad. So it's really only those two horses she has to beat in this race.
All right. Any other angles on the day? I haven't had a chance to handicap any other race. I actually handicapped a couple of the Belmont races, but I didn't see anything that I liked that was price-wise.
They're just at the Belmont race. There's just one kind of interesting horse. It's not a giant price or anything, but the horse Cross Border in the fourth race at Belmont, the Mohawk Stakes, that horse was entered in the race with Arclow and Channel Maker and Channel Cat. I can't remember. I think it's a Man of War, maybe. I can't remember what the name of the stakes race was a few weeks ago, but I couldn't figure out why the horse was in the race, and I thought it was because they were going to use it as a rabbit for the other Maker horse in there. But they like raided the horse and got it into trouble, and it still ran a pretty good race and only got beat a length or two in a race it didn't really belong in, at a distance it had never ran before. And now they bring it in the state bred stakes going at a distance that it makes sense. And to me, that horse kind of stands out in that race. It's 5-1 on the morning line, which doesn't sound very high, but it's actually the fifth choice of in a field of eight as a 5-1 morning line. So I don't know if that's the price you'll actually get. I can't believe if it goes off as the fifth choice, it'll only be 5-1. And it's not an easy race. It's not a standout in there, but I think it could be value in that field. That last race baffled me so much that now it's back where it belongs, and I would expect it to run well.
That looks like a great race, and for people who wonder why didn't we pick that race as a public handicapper race, I wouldn't look at a race that early because the race is going to run at 2 o'clock Eastern time, which is 11 o'clock Pacific. And that means that anybody on the West Coast would have to make their picks by 10 a.m. Saturday morning. And that's a little bit brutal. So I don't look at races that are before 3 o'clock Eastern time and preferably 4 and later so that people can at least get their handicapping done by noon and still make their picks.
Yeah, which is understandable. And I don't think you're going to get a monster payoff in that race, but it is a pretty wide open race. And I just thought Cross Border, the horse crisscrossed me up last time. And so I mark it down as a horse to see where they spot it next. And they spotted it, you know, in a place where I think it definitely can do some damage. So that's why I was interested in that one.
All right, great. So unless you have any other selections, Chris, we will wrap up the PH pod for this week. Want to wish everybody good racing luck this weekend, and please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
Cheers.